Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano.
And by
Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the Fisherman's Landing and the Royal Star here in San Diego. What a great show. Captain Tim Ekstrom and Captain Alex Natipada. Did I get it right?
You got it right.
All right. Yeah. From the Royal Star, brand new owner-operator and his compadre here having a great show talking fishing on the Royal Star.
No doubt, man. Great show. Lots of fun. If you didn't catch the first hour, man, fire it back off when you get that Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a great show, talking all kinds of great information. And if you want to join us here for hour number two, man, we want to hear from you. Again, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup. We have one open phone line. Somebody dropped off during the break. We've not had an open line since the show started. 213-432-1090 is open right now. Or, again, text the show. So many great texts coming through. Lots of great opportunities for you to fire your text off here in the second hour. That's only available through that Let's Talk Hookup app. And, again, want to stress, make sure you include your contact info with your text so that we can, if you're the lucky winner at the end of the show, because we're giving away a trip on board the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing, a full-day trip. And how that happens is we'll select one potential winner from all of our phone callers that make it on the air, one potential winner from all the texts that get read on the air, and then at the end of the show, Alex is going to flip a coin that designates whether that winner comes from the callers or from the texters. So, again, great opportunity to go fishing on board the Liberty with Captain Tara and the boys. Already getting in on some great yellowtail fishing at the island. Yeah. We saw some good yo-yo jig fishing there this week, so lots more to come on that for sure.
All right, yeah, and I want to remind you, tomorrow on Let's Talk Hookup, don't forget, what is it, spring ahead, right? Set your clocks ahead an hour, Ricky's favorite day of
favorite
the year.
Favorite day of the year.
Yeah, and
lose an hour.
Tomorrow, Nick Kelly from West Coast Marine will be here talking Parker boats, Yamaha outboards. Nick's first time here, of course, following his uncle, Kevin Kelly, who is such a great friend that who passed away last year. But Nick will be talking about all the boats they sold at that PCS show, man.
Imagine.
They killed it up there. So Nick will be great, and he's super good, knowledgeable about Parker Boats, been with Kevin for many, many years, and now he's the owner. So.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time tomorrow morning. Let's Talk Hookup. Just want to throw that reminder out to you. Well, let's find out what's biting now.
You got it, man. It's time for our fishdope.com catchboard. Hey, we're going to remind you, low, low gas prices for your car or truck, and most importantly, for your trailer boat. That's only at Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. You can buy your California fishing licenses there at 24 hours a day. You can get your beers and soda, snacks, and 100 pounds of free ice with a minimum of a 35-gallon purchase. At Summit Gasoline, stop in, say hi to Martha and their friendly staff. There's so much more than just the lowest prices on gas and free ice. It's also a very easy in and out pull through with your boat and trailer. It's some gasoline there at the San Diego Sports Arena. It is such a no-brainer stop.
Yeah.
The free ice, the cheapest price you're going to pay on fuel, all the good stuff is awesome.
Best place.
Yep. No doubt about
Summit
it.
Summit Gasoline.
Let's talk to our private buddy, Cap Mark Wish of Pacific is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Ricky, Pete, Tim, Alex. Great show.
Thanks.
Much good stuff here today.
Yeah.
So, last week, just about the exact time I was doing this report and commenting about how for many years, you know, we did that live show up there at Fred Hall and always tried to have a good sea bass report for that setup there. And I didn't this year, didn't have that sea bass report, but little did I know that the bite that I wanted to report on was happening as we were talking. One of our really good, savvy private boat guys found a nugget of biting fish, good ones, good grade, and made a really nice catch there. And then the weather came back up again, and that was that for a few days. But fortunately, we didn't get a big northwest after that midweek rain, and a few hardy souls made it back out. And bait fishing was tough with the moon being what it is right now. But they made enough, and it turned into a handful of sea bass and a very nice catch of halibut. So there's definitely some good signal from Catalina guys. We We just need a stretch of decent weather for conditions to straighten out a little bit better. And the water's cold. Fairly clean over there, but, man, it's so cold. And things will get rolling over there. Had no reports at all from any of the other islands or banks on the outside there. Locally, it's just been basically a disaster with all the rain and runoff at Santa Ana River yesterday. Was just raging when I went by there. A lot of that inshore is just completely wiped out. Tough to find any decent water at all. But that best news closer to the beach is what you guys were talking about. Those nice yellow sized bite finally down there at the Coronado. The guys looking around, getting some nice great fish on the yo-yo iron. And be interesting to see today with better coverage, you know, how much is really around there. That's great news. And then an interesting sidebar. When I was listening to you guys at the very start of the show and eating breakfast, I was reading a little thing from NOAA, and they're thinking that finally we're shaking off this triple dip La Nina that we've been dealing with. And, you know, and obviously there's a lot of fish around, so it's not been the end of the world by any means. But the trends are all pointing toward El Nino for the fall. You know, and of course it's trends and it's weather, but man, looking at the water patterns and the water down there on the equator where all this starts, it's changed dramatically in the last couple months. So looks like we might have a very interesting fall coming with that El Nino scenario, if indeed it develops. And, you know, we got a little weather here coming this week, more than a little, I guess, Tuesday and Wednesday. But, man, we got sea bass, yellows, halibut on call, and we just need some little time for conditions to straighten out. It's going to be game on.
Oh, yeah, fishdope.com. All the boys over there at fishdope.com will have the information for you. Comes right from Mark and all the guys that report to fishdope.com, and you get $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com by using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And, Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. Your store is on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by the big Chevron station. And the phone number is area code 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And it's just about game on, guys. It's going to be time to go fishing really soon. Yeah.
Right on, Mark. A great report, as always. Appreciate that very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
Thanks a lot for that. Hey, while we're waiting for Marcos to get rolling, I had a good text come through. It says, Tim, I'm curious on your predictions of water temperature throughout the season with what seems like an unusually cold winter time. I know you do so much looking at charts. Do you feel this is going to have an effect on our summer? Positives, negatives? Well, looking forward to your thoughts. That's from Mike in Rosemead.
Well, you're right. I do look at the water and the weather, study it a lot, and I was just telling the guys here between in the breaks how it's fascinating this year to look at how different the patterns are. And I'm up in the air right now as far as what is to come. I don't get the sense, like my gut tells me it's not going to be profoundly negative. I don't think like all the fish are going to go away. But I sure have a lot of questions in my mind. I'm on the edge of my seat waiting to see what's going to happen here because this year has been so different.
So different.
Yeah. So, you know, we were saying the old timers used to always, a wet year was always a good indication of albacore. You know, it's all, you know, wet year, albacore are going to show up. Could that happen this year? Yeah, it could. You know, could they mix with the bluefin? Yeah. Are the bluefin going to change their pattern and do something different? I suppose, but, you know, based on what we see thus far, I kind of doubt it. They don't really seem to care if that water's, you know, if it's 63 or if it's 70, you know, they
or
still,
57.
Yeah, they're
right?
Still kind of doing their thing,
here.
So it doesn't really. That,
yeah,
I know I gave a really vague answer as far as a solid result, but I'm telling you what, man. I don't know.
Just don't know.
And nobody.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, I mean.
Even the NOAA guys. They don't know.
I was going to make that comment.
Even Barbara Block doesn't know.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
We don't know. I mean, what they thought it was going to be a dry year this year, too. So,
yeah,
you know, there
exactly.
You go.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do find this year to have a lot of, there's a lot of variables that we didn't have last year going on. And again, I'm just fascinated. I mean, I'm a student of it. I've studied it for a long time and watch it. And
well, all you captains, Alex, you guys watch the charts, right? Cause that's so important where to go, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Got to do it.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then relying on the past to at least guide you as what you think is going to happen. I don't remember a pattern like this, especially especially like the multiple big rain events and periods stacking up like this, and just watching the activity in the North Pacific and what's going on out west, like above Hawaii and in southwest of Hawaii, there's some really different things going on out there. So, you know, anyone's guess.
Wait and see.
Yeah, for sure. But I do know one thing. There is a hell of a lot of fish around over the past, you know, 6, 8, 10 years. That the biomass that has been working up and down this coast is so robust that I feel very good about fishing opportunities. I don't think the fish are all going to go away.
And like last Saturday, Ken Frankie came into the world headquarters here and announced that SAC is putting spotter planes up to put you guys on the fish.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. It's funny, too, because we were talking with the pilot the other day, and, you know, the assumption is that, you know, the plane is going to put us on fish, and it's great because the pilot's like, well, where do you want me to fly? Right?
Because there's so much fish.
No, it's because we're the fishermen.
Yeah, he's a pilot.
We're the fishermen, and, you know, we've got a really good idea of what this fish has been doing, you know, the patterns. Yeah. So, you know, we work together. We're putting him on fish.
So you're putting him in the zone.
It's exactly right. It's a huge help. I mean, obviously an airplane can cover a hell of a lot more ground than a boat does at 10 miles an hour. You know, that's got flying 100 miles an hour. If we can give him a box, I mean, I can look at a chart right now and I, with a very high degree of certainty, I can tell, you know, we can talk to a pilot and go, look, if you start at point A, you know, say the 32 degree latitude, and you work from the 117.20 longitude to the 116.50 longitude and fly down to the 30 latitude, you know, in that box, you know, go down one side, come back the other, odds are pretty good you're going to see fish in that box. Cool. Even when you don't know anything. Like if
you look out the window, you're going to see something.
I just threw a dart, and I'll bet you they're going to be there. 8 out of 10 times, that's where they're going to find fish at this time of year.
And the beauty of the plane when you guys are fishing is you might have the fleet might be in that box, but the fleet's not to the west of that 40 miles,
exactly,
50
right.
miles, or up above. And, man, just one quick jump, the plane can say, hey, man, there's fish here too, or, man, you guys are where it's at. You're at ground zero. Keep it happy. I mean, find an unproductive area. From not you traveling, you know, 10 miles an hour to get there versus a plane that can say, hey, this is no good or this is great, come on.
That's right. It's a muggle there is with that fishery, in particular when they're up on top. I'll tell you a funny story. I think Tom Gravina has been on the show.
Yeah, before, a bunch
right?
of times, yeah.
He's great. I love Tom.
Tom's awesome.
Tom is this conversation we had years ago, it's just, he, you know, jawed about whatever, and he goes, you know, so like, I don't even know why you guys have me fly most of the time. You're right smack center on top of where the fish are. You know, he was complimentary of our fleet,
sure.
and how dialed in we are, again, by working together and utilizing our knowledge and history. Most of the time we're on them. I mean,
yeah.
We really are.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. There's enough of us. You know, we can cover a hell of a lot of ground collectively.
Last year I got to fly with Tom and
Epic.
See it. Firsthand about really what happens, and it was interesting because he wanted to explore other areas where you weren't, because
sure.
I mean there was so much fish from the Coronado Islands all the way up to Catalina and backside and stuff like that. We just see spots everywhere, and the boats were on it. They were on it. Then he said, okay, we're going to go south and south of the border, and there was no fish down there. And so he knew where not to send you, right?
Yeah.
And that's just as important,
it's,
right?
Absolutely. It's 100%
yeah.
of the utmost importance.
But it's amazing how different the ocean looked with very little. I mean, we saw a little bit of small yellowfin and stuff like that, but when we were flying, we would go not very far. I mean, you could see like 10 spots from the air, like it's this direction, and then 20 spots from the air this direction, right? They were just everywhere.
What's so fascinating to me about a guy like Tom, who obviously was a total professional and very good at what he did, is that that guy could fly over something and look over his shoulder and relatively accurately judge this school is X amount of tons, and the fish in it are X size, and
right.
you know, I mean, it's just a lifetime of doing it and getting it perfected. But how on earth can you look over your shoulder and look down and be like, okay, there's 20 ton there, and they're X size kilo fish. This isn't what we're looking for. Okay, here it is over here.
Yeah.
Like, that is just, it's wild to me that exists in somebody's ability.
Great to have that guy on your side.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Great. Just,
yeah.
You know, again, on every level. Colorful guy.
Totally.
Yeah.
In, epic, and that was an epic conversation with him, you know, from a fishing perspective.
We're glad he's coming out of retirement for a little while.
There you go.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Nick, let's continue our catch report.
You got it, man. Let's head down to C4 Sport Fishing. Talk to our good buddy, Marcos. Marcos, what's going on in C4?
Well, I'll tell you that we just got a call from San Diego. Their first stop, they already have 10 yellowtail down their island today.
Yeah, right on. Awesome.
Yeah, so that's definitely a good start. He said those are all yo-yo jigs for that first stop there. Yesterday, ended up with 17 yellowtail. The day before that, 33. And it's actually a good mix of rockfish, reds, whitefish, and lingcods in there, too. So it's not just yellowtail. They're fishing that zone where you're going to see a little bit of everything. So very good fishing on the San Diego there. He's online pretty much every day this month. To make your reservations. The weather doesn't look pretty today, but from the sounds of things, it's not too bad on the ocean there. That rain should blow through here pretty quick. And we're supposed to get some weather, some wind in the middle of the week there, but definitely make your reservations. Like we always say, don't wait till they're catching limits, because then it's going to be hard to make reservations. They're getting that fishing going now. Now's your time to get on a boat and get out there and catch some of that early season yellowtail there. The new C4s out there again this morning. A little bit tougher on the half days this week as far as getting them out, but they did have some very good whitefish, sculpin, a little bit of calico bass in the mix there. We have the Pacific Voyager out on a one day today, so we've got all kinds of boats out looking there. And you know, getting in the middle of March here, it's just going to look up from here. The season's definitely getting started. So check the website, c4thlanding.com. Have our full schedule up there for those half days. And we do have a variety of half days. We have both those extended half days, fishing in Mexico, and the local half days. Those full days on the San Diego. We got some day and a half and longer trips scheduled throughout the season there. So check that out, c4thlanding.com. You have to call at the office, 619-224-3383. Come down and visit us in person. If your gear's not ready to go, now's the time to get it set up and get ready to get out there and catch some fish.
Hey, Marcos, I know you answer this question about 20 times a day. What is the iron that they're catching them on? What are you sending people out from Seaforth with?
Today, like I said, over the last few days, it's been a mix of dropper loop sardines and just a variety of yo-yo jigs. I'm sure Dustin and the guys in the tackle shop, nothing specific. I'm sure the guys in the tackle shop can tell you what's been selling the best, but it sounds like it's a nice mix of those heavier yo-yo irons. I'd imagine like a 6X Junior or something in there. And actually a lot of dropper loop sardines over the last couple of days. So we'll get a little bit more information. Unfortunately, Matt called in, gave me that, and ran right back down to the dock. So I'm guessing he's catching some more fish. So definitely keep an eye on the website. We do post that information on the website daily. And if they give us a specific recommendation, we'll put that up there. And yesterday, all it said was yo-yo jigs and dropper loops. So whatever you got there, I'm sure something's going to work. It sounds like those yellowtail are ready to bite. They've taken the winter off just like everyone else.
That's cool. Yeah, man, what great news, Marcos. So stoked to hear. And, boy, from looking at the photos from the guys in the San Diego, look like a really nice grade of fish, huh?
It definitely. Again, like I said, I wish he had given me a size range this morning, but hey, he called in right before I called you guys, so 10 yellowtail and yo-yo jigs.
That's awesome, yeah. Buddy. Well, a great report. One more time, if somebody wants to take advantage of that fish that's biting right now or any of the great trips going on at Seaforth, how do we do it?
Check the website, seaforthlanding.com. We've got our full schedule up there for all those trips, the half days, the full days. Like I said, some of the longer trips. I think we've got trips scheduled up through May right now, and we've got some longer trips scheduled throughout the season there. You can make reservations straight online. You can always give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. More than happy to help you guys out, answer any questions, and get you on one of those trips.
Awesome, buddy. Great job. Great report. Glad to hear things are biting, and we'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you then, guys.
Thanks, Marcos. Okay, that catch report sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The very best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros the Market, you can also purchase fresh fish. They have their smoked and jerkied fishes, the spices, the rubs, smoked cheese, tuna burgers, and that awesome pokey kit. Stop by their location on Old Town on Taylor Street or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. We say it every week, but man, make sure to make those reservations. The easiest way is just by texting. Shoot them a text at 619-255-3128. Again, Melanie talked about how easy the process is. Literally, just shoot them a text, 619-255-3128. I'm going on the Royal Star. I just booked one of those trips in April. I want to make sure to put a reservation down. That's all you got to do. My name is Alex. Here's my phone number. You're going to get a text back that says, hey, we got you. Here's your reservation confirmation number. We'll look forward to seeing you and cut up, take care of your fish. It's just that easy. There nothing to it.
Yeah. And again, Royal Star has trips available in April. So if you want to go on the Royal Star this year, just could be your only chance. April 3rd through the 5th, a two-day with a couple spots. April 5th through the 7th, a day and a half. That sounds great. And then April 7th through 10th, a three-day with a couple of spots on it, too. But that being said, all the trips are already full. Tracy and everybody in the office works wonders on the wait list, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, if you do want to go on a trip, you look at the schedule online, it says it's all full up. Give her a call, especially if it's a particular trip. Or if you call her and say, hey, I just want to go on anything, she'll put your name in a list. And I can tell you that there's a, you know, the old money talks line.
Oh, yeah, man.
If you put your name down and you throw her a deposit, say, if something opens up, I want
on. I don't need to think about it. This is me thinking about it. Here's my cash. Right. I want to come fishing on the star.
That deposit cements that spot that second it opens up, you're automatic. Yeah. So that's just a little tidbit of inside advice.
Yeah.
Something, hey, I wanted to mention about those shorter trips, too. I was just thinking when we talked about the yellowtail at the islands. Those shorter trips coming up in April, as all of those trips are, it's a mix and match. You know, we're going to go anywhere and everywhere, and I'm actually getting excited listening to that.
Yeah. Because,
you know, a lot of that early season bluefin, we're down there 50, 60 miles. It's not very far if that fish shows up in the same place, which I bet it does.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're only 50, 60, 70 miles. You wallop those bluefin the first night out. Hey, guess what? You got a bunch of bluefin. Let's go get some yellowtail.
Hey, wait a minute here. Alex's roots are up in 22nd Street in that area there. What about going sea bassing at Catalina, huh? That's going to be prime time for us.
I say that's potential, too.
Yeah.
A decent knowledge up there, and I know how to make a catch. So.
I bet you do. So, go catch a bluefin in the evening and go catch a sea bass in the morning.
Right. That's right.
Huh?
Well, I'd say that works perfectly into the next text that we have, and that's from Donovan in Murrieta. It says, good morning, guys. New to long-range fishing and talking about catching all this great bluefin, can you talk about what happens if we catch limits early? Do you just target other fish? Do you high five, go home early? Do you do bottom fishing? What's it like if you make the score right away?
I think as a Royal Star business aspect, we can go home high five, but I think we're gonna spend our time. Like, for example, you're on a two-day trip, we get limits first night, you have a bunch of time left, but you know what, just plenty of opportunities to do something else, make some other catch. We're gonna make your money worth it, you know, kind of thing, give you a full effort.
Yeah. So, beginning of April, the rockfish season starts again.
Right, exactly. There's plenty of things to do. We're going to keep fishing, I think.
Yeah,
I think,
sea bass,
I
yellows.
I would agree there. I don't think we're going to high five and go home. No, that's not what we do.
Let's go ahead and jump back in those jam-packed phones.
You got it, buddy. How about this time we talk to Ed? He's calling us from Mira Mesa this morning. Hi, Ed. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I got a question. I'm going to be replacing some of my braid. And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, there's so many colors out there and that. And also, what kind of a knot can I use to splice in? I've been using the RP knot, and that seems to be working. Is there another knot that might be better?
Got a favorite in terms of color for long range, and Alex?
White. White's easy to see at night. Yeah. Easy during the day. It's just much easier to work with. Not that any other color is wrong, but white's just easier to see. It's easier to work with.
Yeah.
And especially with all this dark time fishing, man, you get that dark green braid with a couple tangle at nighttime. It might as well not be there.
Right.
Yeah.
Blue.
Blue.
Anything
yellow or
white.
Yellow or white.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of white.
Yeah.
And yellow would be the second choice. The connection, he was talking about the art. I guess you're talking about from the braid to mono, or are you talking about braid to braid?
Braid to braid.
Oh, okay.
Braid to braid.
For me, if there's, if it's not, if we don't have to cast that connection through the guides, meaning it's going to be buried down there in a little bit, I still think the strongest way to do that is to tie two bimini twists and loop to loop those two together.
How many loops in the loop? Three?
That's what I like to do, yeah. I mean, I don't know that it's a necessity, but that's what I like. It provides a little more cushion, it cinches up really tight, and it will not ever fail no matter what. Now, that's a little bulky, and if it's a small amount and you're having to cast that connection through the guides, then maybe you try something else. But for me, day in and day out, that will not fail, period.
Back-to-back uni or something like that, it's, you know, it's not, it may work, but not Maybe not, right?
I think if you're sea bass and yellowtail fishing, that's probably perfectly fine. But if you're trying to catch a 250-pounder and you're reefing on it and the crew's reefing on it and the rod's on the rail and you're doing everything you can to stop one of those things, you got heavy tackle, I just don't know that a back-to-back uni is probably the best thing for a big fish connection.
Yeah. Here's a text from Stacy Stevens wants to know about, she has Power Pro Max Quattro, 80-pound, and she wants to put some depth hunter offshore. So how do you do that? Same type of thing, back-to-back, or actually not back-to-back, but two bimini twists, as short as you can tie them, and then loop-de-loop, huh?
I think so.
Have you done that before,
I
Alex?
Have plenty of times.
And it works.
Guys are bringing solid spectrum on a boat and want to splice.
Splice some depth hunter offshore in there, and that way you have the different colors and such like that.
Right.
Of course, the best thing to do is just change it, but not necessarily always the way people do it.
A good connection, tied right by somebody who knows what they're doing, the crew of the Royal Star, drop it off the tackle store before you go. I mean, it's done right. It's that's the thing with connections, too. Any connection tied right is probably going to be fine, and any connection tied poorly is going to fail. It doesn't matter how fancy the knot is. If it's done incorrectly, it's not going to hold.
Yeah, and it's relative. How many turns in your bimini are you doing?
I'm not a huge counter, but in Spectra, probably 25-ish in that neighborhood there. I'm like a visual, you know what I mean? I'll get enough wraps that I like the way that I know that knot's going to cinch down, and I know that I've surpassed an appropriate amount. So probably 25 or so in that neighborhood there.
Yep, sounds good.
18 to 25, that was the old
rule. 18 to 25, okay.
You guys, I was just scrolling back thinking to myself, because we used to have those bimini's, going back 30-something years in Europe, that was all you tied. I had to sit and think of myself, how the hell do we do that again? Down around the knees.
We had a stool at the tackle store that we all learned to tie a bimini from, and, when that thing broke and went away, everybody, had to relearn how to tie that. And I'm like, can I do that? You don't even think twice, and... our guys are so good at that connection stuff that, they're hanging it off a reel handle or two hands and holding the line in their mouth. They're so fast and so easy at it. But I remember, in the old days when that stool that Danny Fitzgerald sat on, when that thing officially broke, how the hell are we going to tie this thing? That's the only way I know how to do it,
For sure. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. You have a good one, huh?
I did. Yeah, I had a fun text that I wanted to read as I pull her right back up here. It says, good morning, guys. I'm excited to hear about the cosmetic differences in the Royal Star. Any chance she'll be ready by day at the docks for us to check out? That's from Corey in Escondido.
Good question.
Ooh, that is a good question. We'll be there, and
a week from tomorrow.
We've got our flooring install going on next week, so yeah, I believe she will be. She might not be completely tuned up as far as our cleanup on the outside. Depends on where we get to on our projects, but yeah, she might be ready for a guided tour.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
All right. And you guys will be on the boat.
We will be.
Yeah. So if you want to go see the Royal Star, pick out your favorite stateroom.
Can have a look.
Potentially. Let's say potentially. That. construction projects, I know very well. Yeah, I would throw the potentially caveat out there. How that goes.
Get a chance to meet Alex.
Mm-hmm. I think she's still going to be our flooring install. We're hoping to be done with it by the 18th.
Flooring, new carpet?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All new flooring in the galley and down below. Yeah, it's going to make a big difference.
Wow. All right. So by the 18th, then you're good for the 19th.
We'll see.
Perfect.
Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More text messages, more phone calls, and a lot more with Alex and Tim. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. The sports shows are coming, and it's the best time to buy that new boat you've always wanted. Rock Cod Rick here to remind you that West Coast Marine and Parker Boats will be at the PCS show, as well as the Bart Hall Long Beach show this year, showing off some of their most popular models of Parker Boats and Yamaha outboards. Kevin Kelly is certainly responsible for putting hundreds of anglers in their Parkers at the shows and at their Costa Mesa location of West Coast Marine. Carrying on the tradition that our friend Kevin Kelly did so well is his nephew Nick Kelly at their shop on Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa. Kevin was a fixture at the shows for many years and will be missed by all, but you can be assured that Nick will do everything possible to carry out Kevin's tradition of taking care of his customers and getting them in the right boat, outfitted the way you want. Nick will have several Yamaha-powered Parker boats at the show available for you to check out. Be sure to go by the West Coast Marine booth at the PCS show and the Bart Hall Long Beach show, or stop by their Costa Mesa location and share your memories of Kevin with Nick. Check westcoastmarine.com.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Day at the Docks is back, and Fisherman's Landing Tackle will have our largest booth ever. This is Doug Kern. Our Day at the Docks booth, in the shop and out in the parking lot, will feature the Shimano lineup of rods, reels, and lures, like Talica reels, Terramar rods, and Current Sniper lures. And as always, our expert staff at Fisherman's Landing Tackle will help you select the perfect Shimano setup. Day at the Docks and Fisherman's Landing Tackle. Take advantage of our great deals on Shimano.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
He's not just my fishing buddy. After 30 years, he's a brother, and I'd sure hate to lose him. His bass boat's got nothing to do with it. So I make sure both of us wear a life jacket. Save the ones you love, even if they don't own a fancy boat. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Phones are absolutely packed full. Your opportunity still here to get through 213-432-1090 or send us a text on that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phones, Rick.
Brian in Harupa Valley is up next here on Let's Talk Hookup. Brian, thanks for joining us this morning.
Morning, guys. My wife and I are going on a two-day trip in April, and we don't really want to keep a lot of bluefin. And I was wondering if we keep a couple, maybe depending on the size, you know, and then if it's okay if we catch and release, and what would be the best way to do that?
Boys? Alex, what do you think?
We're definitely open to it. Catch and release, that's no problem. Another option would be, you know, giving it to your friend on a boat or something like that. But if you're up for catch and releasing the crew, we have done in the past. We don't have a problem with that at all.
And there's been situations where the fishing's so good, it's like, you got
to
do it,
you have
right?
to cut them off anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. No, we're definitely open to that.
Yeah. I'm super supportive of catch and release. It's your fish. You want to release everything. You know, the old days of measuring our pride or ego by the pile of fish at the end of the at the end of the trip those are long gone, you know.
Yeah.
The success of our trip hinges upon how much enjoyment the angler gets out of it. So whatever form that takes, good on you. The only thing I would add is if we're night fishing with those knife jigs or flat falls that are festooned with hooks, and you know, and a lot of times those fish at night, they swallow them to the guts. You're not going to release that fish, and if you do, it's going to die anyway. So we just have to take that into account. Now, if it's a fish that's caught on a sinker rig, live bait, or if we see that the hook is in the, you know, in the hinge or the corner of the jaw, what we do is we just put a gaff down there and we catch the bend of the hook, meet it in the bend of the gaff, and we pull opposite directions, and we're very successful releasing fish that way. I want to say north of 75% we're able to release without harm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're into it 100%. Release whatever you want, but if we get that one that's, you know, it's obviously...
And there'll be somebody who would want it.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely nothing goes
I'm not somebody.
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
Sure.
I was just going to say, I'm a volunteer.
Royal Star Bluefin Tuna, I'm not somebody. Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Somebody on the crew or somebody on the dock.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they don't go to waste.
Yeah, no, well, this kind of backs that up a little bit, too. Another great text. Good morning, guys. If this April turns out to be nighttime fishery again, does that mean we'll be knife jigging for bluefins? If so, do you guys prefer to have assist hooks at each end of the jig or just one end? Does it help with crew safety? I've seen them rigged with big treble hooks at the bottom. I've seen hooks hanging all over the place. What is your favorite rigging setups, and how should we prepare best? That's from Roger.
Alex, what do you think?
I like the assist hook on both ends. Now, Is that the safest way? No. Well, I have to go with that. Us dealing with this fish at night. It's complete chaos and jigs flying around everywhere. So having a safe stick on both ends, it's kind of hairy. But in terms of your hook-to-land ratio, it really improves that.
That extra hook often just, whether they're shaking their head or swimming around, that thing swings around and catches another spot. You got them in the gill plate or whatever it might be.
Got to be careful.
I
couldn't agree more. I mean, I'll tell you what, I want to get that bastard no matter how. he's dumb enough to eat that thing. I want him on the boat. Yeah. So, gear him up and we'll deal with the safety. We know how to work around it.
And the other thing, too, is when that fish, go in the process of when that fish comes and hits the deck, what's the process on the Royal Star? Because this is fantastic.
First thing we do is land them gently, as gently as possible. Yeah.
They're not going to hit the deck.
Right.
They're going to
fly over the rail and do a 6-foot body slam like the WWF. Now, land them gently, and ideally, one of us is standing by with a spike, a T-handle spike, and we hit it in the brain right away, and that then it's game over. Yeah, they don't flop, they don't move. It's the quickest, efficient, most humane way to dispatch them. And then once it's dispatched on the bigger bluefin, we actually run that cord down the spine, knock out all the nerves that are firing, the Taniguchi method, and then we bleed them, of course, either. We just clip a gill wrecker. That's kind of the quickest way, and pop that membrane. And then once it's bled out, which only takes 30 seconds or so, then we remove the innards, gill and gut them before immersing them in that refrigerated seawater.
Wow. Yeah.
But quick and efficient, even when it's going down, there's things.
The process on the Royal Star is amazing. Just the visual. And I know you have videos on various websites and stuff like that, you can actually see the process. How you guys do that so quickly and efficiently is amazing.
We talk about it every time, but that's probably the thing that gets me the most is Tim just made the whole rundown of what you do when you're sitting at the table and there's nothing going on here. But, you guys really put that level of care into everyone. Even when you're on the ropes and there's 15 fish going, every fish still receives that level of care. And I think that's the thing that impresses me the most about the crew is – They're so fast and efficient about it. It just all gets handled, and I don't know how you make the time to do it, but it's just everyone still gets that way. Even when there's 10 going and there's 2 tangles and there's a big one coming over the side, and someone needs a hand with the gaff, you guys still bleed them and spike them and gill them and gut them and get them down. You just put so much care into those fish. It's really cool to see.
It's the standards we live up to. That's the Royal Star way.
For sure. Hey, Ray from Santa Ana has a great text. Does size matter, he wants to know. For daytime sinker rig fishing, what is the shortest and what is the longest rod you would recommend, and what is the ideal length? Daytime sinker rig fishing. Of course, you'd want to be using the rail, right? So rail rod.
You want to be using a rail, but length is subjective, how you find a fish, right? On a rail rod.
I mean, is there an ideal length? No.
It's personal preference. That's what it comes down to.
What is Alex like?
I like an 8-foot rod. Okay. 8-foot rod, you put that fish in the corner, and you can spiral that fish without worrying about rubbing off in the corner there. So,
What is the downside of having that long rod?
A downside, going around people, over and under guys.
There's no downside, really.
That's the downside.
That is the downside.
Alex, it's not a problem. Alex is a strong dude and can grab a hold of the front grip on that rod and throw a big bend into it and let somebody in. Other people need to be aware of, backing off their drag when they're weaving in and out of people. Not everybody can grab a hold of that thing and throw a big bend in it and let somebody else comfortably slide underneath them.
Right.
You get tunnel vision, you get buck fever, you don't think about that you can back off your drag a little bit, let your drag slip so you can let the guy under, but that would be the only downside to having a real long rod in a, big fish scenario is it's harder to weave in and out of guys.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Hey, let's jump into the phones, Rick.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Tim? Tim's calling us from San Diego this morning. Hi, Tim. Thanks for joining us.
I don't mean to be negative, but when a fish you fight him or you fight or whatever, a long fight, and the fish gets off, is there any way, like I know another certain fish, it takes so much out of the fish. You know what I mean? If or like he said, he wanted to catch and release. Would it? Do you know of any? I don't know how to ask the question. Do you think that it? I don't even know how you could. figured out, but do you think it takes something out of the fish? You know, he's fought his whole life off. Now all of a sudden he gets off for something, or you let him go. Does that question?
I get the gist of what you're asking. You know, let me tell you something that blew my mind. We did all that tagging, the yellowfin tuna tagging project, and there's been a ton of bluefin tuna tagging also. But what we learned from the yellowfin tuna tagging project, this will blow your mind. We, on probably 10 different occasions, and this went on over the course of these projects, between the top project we were part of for almost 4 years, deployed thousands of tags, including like 500 of those archival tags, the electronic ones, and then in the Revillagigedo tagging project, again, thousands of tuna, and I think north of 700 that were tagged with archival tags. Anyway, there was at least 10 fish in my memory that we recorded as probable mortalities or likely mortalities, bleeding out the gills, exhausted. But it was, in especially when it came to the Revilla trip, because that was strictly tagging. We couldn't keep anything. We couldn't land anything on board and retain it. So we released it anyway. That's just part of the deal. At least 10 of those fish were recovered.
Oh, no way. I wouldn't have thought that.
And I mean, goners. Yeah. I remember this one. I thought, no way. The angler was the legend, Jerry Cruz. We landed this thing out in the skiff as a big bastard, 230 or 40 something. Epic battle. Got it up, measured it, tagged it, and it was weak, exhausted. There were sharks around.
Yeah, you're like, this thing's shark food. No way.
It's toast, right? Yeah. They caught it 5 months later. Persane, you know, caught it in a set up there.
Wow,
really? 100 miles. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're. And the number of fish that, you know, it's like wiggling, you know, little devil, whoops, got away, boom, hits a deck and, you know, bounces over the side. You can't believe how tough those things are,
man.
Tough. I mean, they're a lot tougher. In the case of tuna, you talk about wahoo, that's a much weaker fish. You know, those things didn't fare so well. But tuna are super tough, way tougher than you'd expect. So our survival rate on the released fish is extremely high. I would say, you know, north of 99%.
And I would say in the cooler water with bluefin, even higher than the yellowfin in the warmer water.
No question about it. They are tough.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. That's good info. I would have thought that.
Yeah.
Especially like, so you get a bleeder, you figure out that thing's toast.
Yeah, it's gone. And a bunch of times.
That's right. I like hearing that.
The other thing I might mention, too, is the other thing that releases really well is yellowtail.
Oh, yeah.
You only need so many, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you enjoy the fight, you don't need any more, let that yellowtail go, because they're tough.
I know we've referenced it before on the show quite a bit, but it's worth mentioning again. Anglers have come such a long way in recognizing the value of the resource, and with the they've become much, much more conscientious stewards in taking only what they need.
Right.
And I've said it before, I'll say it again. If any anglers out there, if you're going on a long range trip, you're going on a one day trip, whatever, if you plan on keeping fish to give away to charity, don't do it.
Yeah.
That's just, that's not a reason to keep that fish. No. Let it go.
Yeah.
Yep. Charity doesn't need it. We don't need it here. The fish processors don't need more donation fish. They don't need them.
Don't need to kill it.
Much rather you let that fish go, let it live. And I'll pay it forward for future generations.
Yeah. Go catch it next time.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And most anglers now, they only take what they need. The number of anglers on long-range trips that do not keep retain a full limit far outweighs those that do.
Yeah.
And that's coming from the guy that owns the processing company.
That's
right. And owns the boat that catches the fish. I mean, like, I think that's awesome. Well said. Hey, a great text. Good morning, guys. What a great show. My question is for Tim. I enjoyed Alex. I enjoyed hearing how Alex came up the rank. My question, again, is for Tim. Can you talk about the mentors that you had when you were coming up the ranks, and what is the single best piece of advice that you received? That's from Matt in Los Angeles.
Good question. I didn't receive a piece of advice like sitting down and you know, one single thing. I learned.
You mean Bill Poole didn't take his listen, kid?
Bill Poole. Bill Poole was mean to me.
Come on.
The only advice I got from Bill was how not to do things.
That's great.
That's an inside joke. But I never worked for Bill. You know, it was Steve Loomis, Frank Lapresti, Ed McEwen, and Dick Gaidosh. Those are the four.
Your mentors.
Those are the four.
That's cool.
That I came up underneath, and every one of them contributed to my foundation with their work ethic. That was, you know, I was just so. I never ceased to be amazed at how hard those guys worked at their trade and how dedicated they were. So I learned an awful lot of what to do by how they did it, not what they told me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that goes back. I got lost in my reminiscing here about what the question was.
No, that was it. That was perfect.
Who are your mentors?
What's the advice? And you did, like you said, work that. Work ethic was the advice.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. And I always like that, too. And I've got to watch it from the Royal Star. I try to, you know, hopefully do the same thing. Like, when the boss is working harder than everybody else, it's very difficult to complain about having to work too hard. You know, and, I always thought that was so cool. I know Alex is the same way. Like, when the guy that's the most in charge, like, you're not just standing from the bridge and watching it happen. Like, those guys are down there and they're... You know, the boots are on and they're cutting fish and they're getting bloody and you guys provide, you know, it's a lot easier to follow a leader that's in the trenches and working their butt off. And I know that's what you guys do. I have such admiration for it.
I was going to mention that when we were talking about how we handle the fish and when it's just flying, you know, we're 10 going at night and all that. And I laughed myself because 9 times out of 10, when we're really rocking, I'm the guy that's dealing with the fish when they come over the rail. It's like I just lock into that mode. Yeah. The guys got it. They got the rail. They got fish coming over. And
you're gilling and gutting and spiking and wiring. And
Year like coming on 55 and year 33, you know, running boats. And I'm the guy by hands and knees back here
working it away. That's good.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Hey, Troy in Costa Mesa has a good question here. Hey guys, what should I expect on a sponsored trip? I signed up for the Shimano sponsored trip. Does that mean there's going to be a Shimano rep doing demos on board? Thanks for a great show. I learn every weekend. And thanks for that, Troy. So Shimano trips, generally they send a rep and they send equipment on the boat and gear for you to try out and use. A lot of times sponsored trips throw in a lot of prizes to give away, like they'll have a raffle on the boat. I know when we do a Let's Talk Hookup trip, we'll throw in a bunch of stuff from our sponsors and do a bunch of giveaways on the boat. Anything else I'm missing there, guys? I think that the Shimano rep's going to help you with the gear when you're on a Shimano trip, but the crew is the one that's going to give you the seminar on how to fish.
No doubt.
And that's the ones you want to listen
and
to.
And no one ever better, period.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the big benefit of those sponsor trips is what you said. There's generally, we call it swag. You know, there's always some cool swag they bring, and they do raffles or you know, there's general giveaways. There's cool stuff that comes along with it. You know?
Yeah. The other thing, too, you get a lot of times when it's a Shimano sponsored trip, you get to try the newest, latest, and greatest stuff. That, right, Alec?
Prototype stuff.
I've never seen this. Wow. Yeah. Okay, don't talk about it, but this here, try this. Right. Yeah.
See like those Loomis rods you talked about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I imagine they want to do it. And those, I might add, too, on those new Loomis rods, they are made specifically for the West Coast angler. There's 6, I believe, in the series.
I think there might be, at least
Or maybe 8. I don't know. But they're made. It's so unusual in this day and age to find rods that are built for the West Coast. CalStar does it. But here it is, Loomis, a big national company, building rods for the West Coast and for Southern California anglers.
The other thing I think that those guys did a really good job with is most people put out their prototype, and when they bring them down to show somebody, get somebody's opinion, it's, you know, will this work? And is this close enough? Will this work?
Yeah.
And you know, because it's costly and time consuming to change things, those things were really good when they brought them down the first time. But the rear grips were a little too short, and they were going to have a guy. You know, like techniques have changed over the years, and you need a little longer rod so you can tuck it under your shoulder, put it into your waist to fish the rail, and several things have changed. Not that we're the end all expert by any means, but when they brought them down to the tackle store the first few times, man, this is good, but it, you know, it would really help. It was just, they went through multiple prototype revisions. I mean, that cost them a fortune to do that. And a lot of times we see somebody that maybe takes those thoughts or changes and just say, we're just going to live with it. Then I think I think they did them perfect, man. Yeah. I love them.
And I know really you're going to be able to see them at the Bart Hall Long Beach show coming up at the end of this month.
Yeah.
I know that the Shimano booth, Shimano and G. Loomis are partners.
Yeah, Shimano's going to have a huge
Shimano
booth.
Shimano owns G. Loomis, so that's how the partnership goes
yeah.
there. And they're going to have a huge booth at the Fred Hall Long Beach, or Hall. Bart Hall,
yeah,
excuse
yeah.
me, the Bart Hall Long Beach show. Yeah, for sure. All right.
All right. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including finding out who's going fishing on board the Liberty. More Let's Talk Hookup when we return with the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Are you passionate about fishing and the great outdoors, but not quite sure where to go? Look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris in pristine British Columbia, Canada. Hello, this is Valerie Hopewich. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure. A few of the highlights are fishing in protective, calm waters. Very important. Quality Chinook salmon run all season long. After you've caught your salmon, we're going to go out for the great Pacific halibut, lean cod, rockfish, and Dungeness crab. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sand Spit, and it's so easy to get to. Fly from almost any airport into Vancouver and then on to Sand Spit. Fish processing, your fishing license, your gear, all included. Just bring that fishing arm and that smile. Let our chef pamper you with amazing meals while our staff gives you wonderful hospitality, all included in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. Give me a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-815-2892, or go to our website, qcsafaris.com.
It's not just hooks that make anglers wild about Gamakatsu. The finest split and solid rings are also made by Gamakatsu. If you're looking for quality swivels, yep, Gamakatsu makes the best. And when it comes to assist hooks, Gamakatsu has you covered there too, with a wide assortment of sizes and types. Those Gamakatsu fishing pliers and boxes are also a huge hit with anglers. The best hooks, swivels, split rings, and more are made by Gamakatsu. Get them at your local shop or Gamakatsu.com. For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, it's time to find out who's going fishing on board the Liberty on a full day trip. We're going to do the honors, flip the coin, see if we got a caller or texter today.
Flip it up.
I'm flipping. Alex is calling.
Okay.
Right. We have the T,
which
was
a texter
today.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations. That's Ray in Santa Ana. Ray, congratulations. You're going fishing on board the Liberty with Kevin Taro. You're going to have a great time.
Yeah, you're going to have a great time. And he's fishing right now. So get on it. Call Fisherman's Landing and get on the Liberty. It's a great boat. And Tim and Alex, great. Alex, congratulations on your new acquisition of being a partner in the Royal Star. I know great things are going to happen aboard the Royal Star. I'm looking forward to really fishing with you. And if somebody wants to come aboard the Royal Star, you do have those trips in April that have availability.
Yes, we do.
How do we get a hold of you?
On our website, check there. Call Tracy in our office.
Yeah.
Well, and another option we have, if you want to get a hold of us, is social media also.
Okay.
We're actively on social media now, so that,
okay.
that will
and
help
And which social media are you on?
Facebook and Instagram.
And Instagram.
Moment.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I just wanted to give the shout-out. We've stepped into the...
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Has that been an Alex thing? Yeah, he's doing a really good job.
100%. Yeah. Alex
mackerel.
And his wife, they've got us up to speed.
Yeah, good job. I've noticed. For sure.
Media.
Great job,
I'm stoked about it. We're going to have a bunch of content on there this summer and beyond.
Awesome.
With youth becomes, you know,
got it going.
Another good call, dude.
Got it going, man.
Good job, Alex.
Well, hey, well, thanks for being here. We'll look forward to fishing aboard the Royal Star. And thank you for listening today. Hey, thanks to Christian for manning the boards and the phones. We sure appreciate him. And Adam for doing everything on the Let's Talk Hookup app. And most of all, you texters, you callers, and listeners, you're what make Let's Talk Hookup happen. So thank you very much for that. Tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Don't forget, spring ahead. We'll be on tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time with Nick Kelly from West Coast Marine. We'll see you then right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.